in Luke chapter 18. And I want to share with you a message about prayer. I want to invite you today on a rainy day to, if you can in your mind, curl up on your couch next to your best mixed cup of coffee and your Bible and your journal together and begin to think for a moment of the things that really are matters of concern and matters of need in your life and maybe in those around you. Do you have that place? Do you have that spot where you come alone or get alone? Maybe it's early in the morning or later night. Maybe it's in your bedside or maybe it's in a special corner of the house where you just open the Word and maybe open a journal and just have that time to talk to God. You know, if you think about that phrase, to have that time to talk to God, that's an amazing thought, isn't it? To realize that you and I, failing and flawed and full of marks, little o' us, and comparing us to big old God who runs the universe, and to know that we have the privilege to talk to Him. To realize that He's never asleep. He's always at the ready. He looks past our flaws. He looks past our marks and our mistakes and invites us in to a conversation with Him. In fact, we understand how important that invitation is by the teaching in the parable that Jesus is teaching right here that we read a moment ago. Because Jesus uses the parable to help us to know just how emphatic He is, just how important it is for us to be able to talk to God. Brother Brian read from the more traditional reading of the Scripture, but I'd like to read that passage again, and I think it captures a little bit more context for us as we think about this matter of prayer. I'd like to read it again from the New Living Translation because I like the way it's worded, and you'll kind of get a kick out of it as we read along. It says, in the New Living Translation, one day Jesus told His disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, He said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. What kind of judge is that? Anyway, that's an interesting part of the story. And a widow of the city came to Him repeatedly saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. The judge ignored her for a while. But finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people. But, here's the part, but this woman is driving me crazy. And so because she's driving me crazy, because she won't go away, because she won't quit asking me for justice in the matter, I'm going to see that she gets justice because she's wearing me out with her constant requests. Then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a decision that was just in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to His chosen people who cry out to Him day and night? Will He keep putting them off? I tell you, He will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man comes, how many will He find on the earth who have faith? Jesus is teaching the listeners that day, and He's teaching us as well, that we have the privilege, we have, yea, even the command to bother God with the needs of our lives to the point of driving Him crazy so that He will listen to us and respond. Now, some would ask the question, well, why do we even need to pray to God? Because after all, doesn't God know everything? Doesn't God run the universe? After all, why do we even need to talk to Him about the things that are matters of life for us? Well, part of the answer is found in the parable, and that is that Jesus says so. He says that we're supposed to pray. And even though God knows everything, He wants to hear from us. Why? Because He wants to not just rule the world and lord over the world. He wants to have an intimate relationship with you. He wants to hear from you. You matter that much to Him. The matters that are concerns and worries and bothers and big things and little things in His life matter to Him. When He created the world, what was His original intention in creating the world? He had created the world and put Adam and Eve in the garden for them to procreate and have other people so that they might have fellowship with Him. And the best time of His life as He created the world was when He walked with them in the garden. But what happened is that they sinned and they separated that cool walk in the garden relationship from God. But from that point on, God has always wanted to have a relationship with you. And one of the ways that He has a relationship with you is through this matter of prayer. And if we continually avoid the conversation with God, the relationship is soured, the relationship is strained, and we don't grow in that relationship to God like He wants for us to grow. I wrote the notes in the pastor's lines there, and you may have read it, but it taught me a valuable lesson about prayer and this matter of bothering God about things. I was cleaning out a desk and I found an old journal of mine that I had written down, just carved into the paper, just needs and worries and prayers and things in my life, just kept on writing and writing and writing. It was about 10 years ago. And so I pulled it out of the drawer and I began to read through it and saw several things that I'd remembered that I prayed about and several things that I'd forgotten that I prayed about. But there was a sense of the whole journal that I knew in my heart, because that was me. These things I was writing to the Lord. I pulled a journal out from the year ago and 10 years apart, started reading through that. And when I read through that and the one 10 years ago, they essentially said the same thing. And it was like in that moment of exercise and cleaning out some of the drawers, the Lord said to me, okay, I get that. I've heard from you on those matters. It's time to respond and move on. And even though it was 10 years apart, there was still kind of stuck in some of these major big things that I was praying for in my life. Sometimes, just like the unjust judge, sometimes the judge comes and says, okay, I've heard that. I'm going to grant it and move to something else. Get a fresh prayer. Carve out a new journal. Get another page and speak to me about other concerns and worries that you have and grow in that regard in your relationship to me. It was convicting to me. But it also is a lesson through the parable that we need to grow in our relationship to God. We need to grow in the things that we worry about or are concerned about. We need to grow our heart towards God because God has concerns and worries about our world as well. And we need to grow towards what God is concerned about and what God is worried about as we pray for the matters in my life, in your life, and the lives of others as well. And it's a privilege of us to be in this place of prayer. So as we think about the matter of prayer, and by the way, let me just stop here. Let me calm down a minute. I'm excited to follow all that beautiful music and just come up to the message. But let me just calm down here for a minute. And as we sit in that comfortable chair with the blanket pulled up and the fresh cup of coffee and get to that moment of prayer, let me just say as your pastor, but even more just as a friend, there are all kinds of things that we have as worries in our lives right here today. Isn't that right? There are all kinds of things. There's matters of sickness. There's matters of unresolved things. There are matters of health and wellness and job and children. And there's just all sorts of things that are matters of concern that some we know and some we don't know. We don't know. It doesn't matter that we know or don't know, but they're all there. And so as we think through this matter of prayer today, allow those things to come to mind, because the truth of it is, prayer is also a community event. It's one of the reasons why we come together to sing and to read the scriptures, but it's also to be communal with one another and to realize that we are supported. Two of my colleagues with our Louisiana Baptist Convention work lost a spouse and a brother this past week on the same week. The funerals were on the same day. There's some friends in my life that are hurting over significant, unexpected loss. There are people in your life that are going through difficulties that are just almost impossible to bear. And you need to be able to come to a place where it can be cared for and shared together. As we curl up on that couch with that coffee, let's remember those things and allow them to come to mind as we think of Jesus' teaching on prayer. Just a few thoughts today from the parable. When we think about this matter of driving God crazy, this matter of persistent prayer, when we are persistent in prayer, one of the things that comes to mind is we do not lose heart. Because you see, there are things that are just ongoing worries of life. And there's a tendency for us to quit or give up or wonder if there's ever going to be a resolution. If we continue in the matter of prayer and continue to dialogue with God and continue to allow Him to speak to us, allow the Word to speak to us, allow worship to speak to us, allow community to speak to us, we will not lose heart. And when we do not lose heart, it helps us to have a focus. It makes us think. It causes us to effort to understand God. How many times have you ever prayed after a season of time where it just doesn't seem like there's any movement on a matter that's a concern for your life? Or maybe you've dared not to pray this, but I think it's encouraging to pray, God, I just don't understand. Why isn't anything happening? It seems to me that it's stuck right here on this matter that I keep praying about and praying about and praying about. And God comes to us when we give that ask as we're trying to stay focused and trying to think of different ways to speak a matter of concern and a matter of prayer. And God gives us a response and says, I'm still there. I'm still working. I'm still involved. You may not see it, but if you'll look at it from a different perspective, if you'll think of it in a different way, if you'll begin to think kind of in the opposite way that you've been thinking, maybe you'll see God at work and have that aha moment. I see how things are working out for your good and for my good and for the matter that I'm concerned about, whether it's a job or a person or a relationship, whatever it might be. We also learn that when we do not lose heart, we think and we begin to understand in different ways. When we get to that frustrated point, we get others involved as well. There's such great power in knowing that I'm not alone and praying for matters that are concerns in my life, that you can call on others to be in a matter of prayer for your life. You know, there's so many waste of time things about the electronic tool called Facebook or Instagram, all those electronic tools. But when it comes to sharing matters of the heart and sharing matters of concern in life, it's so nice to get one of those, hey, remember to pray for, and it just kind of pops up there, and just give one of those instantaneous prayers. And sometimes on matters, you'll track somebody's need, and there's hundreds of people in it, literally all over the world, praying instantly for someone in need. And it gets other people involved and gives encouragement as we pray persistently, just as this widow did not give up. She prayed persistently. We too, when we pray, should not lose heart. We also learn, number two, that it is okay to approach Jesus continually. Really is the key to prayer. And it's important that when we approach Jesus in prayer, it's not just about the asking. Because there's this kind of wish list of everything that we think that prayer really is. But it's about hearing from Him. And be able to come and sit in that comfortable spot and drink that cup of coffee and say, God, what do you want to tell me today? Jesus, how are you speaking in my life today? I read the Word of God as a matter of prayer in it, and it begins to penetrate into my heart and begins to see things in that Scripture that I haven't seen before. And I realize that you're talking back to me. Just pause and meditate on that again to realize that little old you, little old me, flawed and failing and sinful as we are, forgiven by Jesus as we believe to be, are being talked to by God in that comfortable spot and allowing Him to speak into our lives and to grow us and to develop us and to help us to flourish. We are to become comfortable in that dialogue with Jesus, comfortable in that dialogue with God, so that whether we're at our comfortable chair or driving to work or school or waking up late in the night or getting up early in the morning or at the mundane task of the chores of life, we have this comfortable talk, this comfortable conversation with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who wants to interact in our lives. And when we come to Jesus continually, when we come to Him continually, we begin to get a perspective that's different than our own. We begin to see with His eyes and begin to see how He is working in things that we formerly couldn't have any idea about because we've not been with Him enough. So it's okay. We don't lose heart. It's okay to come to Jesus continually. Jesus said so. This widow kept bothering the judge until He finally granted the request, and He had no good motives in His life. How much more does your Heavenly Father, who does have good motives towards you, want to grant the needs of your life? And so we come to Him continually. We also understand that by consistently praying, we build a better relationship with God. How do we know God? Well, we know God initially as he introduces us to Jesus, who in that initial relationship seals our relationship with God by forgiving of us of our sins and replacing our sinful lifestyle with the lifestyle of Jesus that begins and grows in our lives. We know that initially. As Jesus comes in our heart and takes away our sin and replaces that sin with himself, he allows the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to move inside our lives. And so we live with God inside of us. And from that moment on, we begin to build a relationship with him. And we know him initially by that converted relationship in Christ. But then we continue to know him in relationship by his word. Be able to study the word of God and read the word of God, even the hard parts and the confusing parts, and dig into it and learn and listen that God has a relevant message for you and for me on every single page, every single turn. There is new truth to be spoken into our lives. It is so fresh to know that the word of God is alive every day and never goes stale. There's always something new to speak into your life about, and always an aha moment if we'll give our best effort into studying the word of God. When we come together as the people of God, we come together to worship. It's great value in being together. I don't really feel like coming to church today. That's the best day to come to church. To be inspired by those who are glad to be there. Realizing that the communal part of the worship experience is to pick one another up and to do this together and to remind us that we're not alone. And when we come together communally and all put one heart together and we sing and we pray and we give and we serve and we love little children and we hug necks and we welcome people and we celebrate newness of life in people, there's this sense of understanding that Jesus is at work in our lives, and it's a great place to be together. We grow in our understanding of God through that relationship and the word and worship. And we grow in our knowing of God through that constant contact with him. And so, out of that relationship, number four, we learn to understand how to ask better. We learn to understand how to ask better. Especially when it comes to hard things in life. Sickness, cancer, terminal illness, really no fixing at all, Alzheimer's disease, those things that are just unbearable to go through. And we pray about those matters, and we're concerned, and we don't know what to say. It's important to realize that those things happen in life. People get cancer. People get brain diseases, and people have hurts. It's a sinful, fallen world that we live in. God doesn't necessarily cause those things to happen. But if you watch real closely in a matter of prayer, God can use all things for his good and for his glory. I heard Rick Warren on the radio the other day talk about people going through difficulty in life, especially hard difficulty, like a cancer or a terminal illness or a broken relationship, something really difficult to go through. And Rick Warren said this on the radio, and it's so simple. And he said this, he said, when a Christian goes through something that's hard, two things happen. You give an opportunity to be a witness to non-believers, and you grow in your understanding of God. And non-believers look in when they see you going through difficult stuff, and they say, how can you go through this? How can you face it with such joy in your life? And the simple answer is because Jesus is with me. And it gives encouragement to the believers as they watch those who go through difficulty grow in their faith towards God. God doesn't cause terrible things to happen, but he uses those difficulties to give testimony to himself and draw us into closer relationship with him. I've had many, many times where I've been called to the bedside of sick people who are not ready to die. And God uses that sickness unto death to call them, even in the last minute, to an abiding faith in Jesus Christ. I think of the thief on the cross. The most horrible experiences in life is being killed on a cross next to Jesus. And yet he reached out to Jesus in the last moment. And Jesus said, even in the last minute, you've done no good thing. You've done no good thing except one. Except at the very last, you've turned to me and turned to Jesus. And Jesus saved him. And he's in heaven with Jesus today because of that testimony. God uses everything for His good and for His glory. And when we come to realize that even something that's so terrible to us, even a setback that's impossible for us to overcome, God can use those setbacks to bring about His better plan. And we then begin to learn how to pray better. We begin to understand and see from God's eyes and from His perspective so that we might be able to pray in a way that He agrees with. You see, here's the thing it's important to know about praying for the needs that are in this life. The needs of people that are in this life are temporary because life is temporary. The only need that is permanent is the need of attending to a permanent relationship with Jesus now for beyond this life. And so it's important for us to remember that we can pray for people to get well, but it's also important to pray for people to become spiritually well. And if you had to trade between the two, to be physically well or spiritually well, certainly everyone would trade for the spiritually well, because that's forever. And so we must remember to attend to the spiritual needs of people, to make sure that the soul is well, make sure that people we pray for are able to have a spiritual walk with Jesus. Jesus said it this way in Luke chapter 7 about this matter of asking and asking in the way that is in the mind of Jesus. He says in Luke 7, "Ask and will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For whoever asks receives. The one who seeks finds. The one who knocks, the door will open. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? In everything, do to others what you have do to them. For this sums up the law and the prophets." In other words, what Jesus is saying, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, and get into the mind of Christ. Get into the will of God. Get into the plan of God and ask in that way. And find agreement with the Lord as you grow in our matter of prayer. And so lastly, I don't know if you noticed it or not, but in the passage of Scripture, Jesus makes a decided turn in the teaching at the end. He asks this question. He says, "When the Son of Man returns, how many will He find on the earth who have faith?" This whole parable, this whole teaching is about growing our faith. To come to the place in our lives where we understand that we do not live and function alone, that we function in community, that we function in the community that is our Heavenly Father. And by learning that as a matter of prayer, we grow our faith. You ever been around truly faithful people? Maybe you are one. Many of us have testimony of faithfulness. I mean, you probably can think of somebody in your life that's truly faithful. Just their reflex reaction says, "It's going to be fine. It's going to be okay." And they understand. How did they get there to that place of being truly faithful? Well, I just want you to know, it doesn't happen in an instant. It happens over a lifetime. And those people that teach us how to be truly faithful grow us towards this deep and abiding faith with the Lord. So as you sit on your couch and your cup of coffee is just about finished, and your journal's been written in, and your prayers have been read, what is it that you've been praying about? Has the Lord spoken to you today? Have you spoken back to Him? Have you altered what you've written in your journal because you realize you've just been writing the same thing over and over, and maybe it's time to change it up a little bit? Has there been a new revelation? We're in the community of believers today. Is there something that's a matter that needs some help from others to pray over? Whatever it is, the Father, through Jesus, teaches us. We need to talk about it. We need to be with Jesus about it. We need to be on our knees about it. We need to be with others about it as well. As we pray today, I want to ask you to really move your heart towards those deep places, towards those matters of worry and concern. And you may come to the place where you've never done this before, but You may come to the place where you realize, I got to bring this to the Lord at His altar. I got to have a friend kneel with me and pray. I can't do this on my own. I want to let you know that this place is a sacred place for those prayers to be delivered. This body of people is a safe group to be prayed with and prayed over. People care about you and care. They don't need to necessarily know details, but care if you care about it. It's a matter of importance to you and to others as well.